as a shepherd, cares for the sheep, tries to find good pasture land for them, good food for them to eat. So God cares for his people, doesn't he? He guides them, he protects them. Jesus himself said that he was the good shepherd, but it wasn't just Jesus who said that. It had been said in the Bible long before that, that God was a shepherd to his people. And so God describes himself as a shepherd. He also calls himself a king. In fact, it's not just a king, is it? He calls himself the King of Kings. That's what God's word says. That's because he rules as a king, as the king over all kings, the king of all creation. He rules and he reigns. Got other illustrations as well, other people that he says that he is like. He describes himself as a husband who loves and is committed to the one that he loves. He's called a friend. That's something which I think we often forget. God calls himself a friend. We can see him as a friend. He's described in similar ways to a mother, isn't he? We thought about that last time we had an all-age worship service, about God, how he shows himself in motherly ways, how we can see God reflected in a mother's heart. But how else does God describe us? If one of the kids want to shout out, what day is it today? What did I say at the very beginning? It's Sunday, it is Sunday, yes. Well done, you got through the whole week. What is it today? Father's Day. And God shows himself in a father's heart as well. That's what we're going to be thinking about today. Now, we use that word a lot when we're speaking about God, don't we? We use the word father a lot when we pray. In fact, when I pray most times, when I'm doing the kids talk at the very end, I'll often start my prayers with Heavenly Father. So we use that word a lot. We know that he is like a father. But we sometimes forget what that means. And so God uses fathers to show us what he's like. And so that's what we're going to be thinking about a bit more this morning. Now, as we do that, for some of us, that's going to be a very easy thing for us to do as we think about our own fathers. It'll be easy to transfer some of those good things when we're thinking about God. But for others of us this morning, that might be a very hard thing for us to do. Perhaps today is a very sad day for us as we think about our fathers who are no longer with us, fathers perhaps who have passed away. We might be filled with sadness. But this morning, as we think about how God is our Father, I want to encourage you to be able to take that sadness, to take that sorrow to God, who is our Heavenly Father, who is always there, and ask him to comfort us. And as we look around us this morning, hopefully there will be others here, others who aren't our fathers by birth, but who can show us all the same the Father's heart, as they care for us and love us as fathers do. And so this morning, whilst we might be saddened in some ways, we can still thank God for the people that he's put around us. We can thank God for fathers. But it might also be difficult this morning, as we think about God as Father, because whilst God uses lots of different people in his word to describe what he's like, none of those people are perfect. Our kings and our prime ministers and governments never seem to rule justly and perfectly all the time. You might think that they never rule justly or perfectly, but we know that they fail as well. Our friends, we think of God as a friend, but our friends sometimes let us down and don't treat us as they should. And even mothers don't always get things right. And fathers are the same, aren't they? Fathers mess up too. Perhaps they've messed up in big ways in your life. Perhaps they left. Perhaps they didn't treat us with the love and care that a father should. And so maybe because of that, this morning, it's going to be hard for us to think about God as our Father. But as we do think about that today, we need to remember that he is perfect. Even though all of us are sinners, and none of us reflect God's heart perfectly, God is all that a father should be. He is the perfect father. And so we should try, we should be able to trust in him this morning. Well, with that said, we're going to watch a video. And we're going to be thinking about all of the things that our fathers or people who act as our fathers do to help us, to teach us. And as we watch, we're going to think about how God is like a father in these ways. We're going to thank God for the fathers that he does give us, but we're going to think about God too. Now, some of you, especially the younger ones, might find it hard to follow this video because it's just a lot of words. But maybe as you're looking at the video, perhaps just think about some of the good things that your fathers have done for you and thank God for that. So let's watch this video now. So all of those ways where people can act as fathers and reflect God's love to others, those who are fathers and grandfathers and uncles and foster fathers, all of those people who can show and reflect God's love, how good he is. And we can come to him, can't we? Because of that great love and how he cares for us, we can come to him. And so we're going to sing a song now, a song about prayer, and that's us talking to God, our Father. And what a great thing, what a great opportunity that is for us. So let's stand and sing together. Did you ever talk to God above? So we've already thought about God as Father, haven't we? We know that we call him Father, but do you ever stop to think about what that means for us? The fact that we get to call God our Father, about how that should affect the way that we relate to God. You see, when we think about God, there can be many ways that we can think about him, aren't there, as we go through God's word. But we may often only think of him as our Lord, as our creator, as our king, or even as our judge. Now, none of those things are bad things to think about God. They're all true. God is all of those things, isn't he? But does that ever stop us, when we're thinking about God as those things, does that ever stop us from then coming to him? Do we end up keeping our distance from God? When we think of him in those ways, he seems so grand and so big and so distant. Can even seem a little scary, can't he? And so when we think about coming to him, we might think, oh, we just can't do that. We can't come to God because he simply won't have time for little old me. Or he might not care about me when I come to him. He might not care about the things that I come to ask him about. Or even we might start to think that when we come to him, things might go very badly for us. It won't be a good experience. And so when we think about God as those things, we might think, no, I won't come to him. I'm going to keep my distance. But as we find when we look at God's word, that is not something that we need to do. In fact, as we look at God's word, we find that we're to do the opposite. Jesus tells his disciples here to do the opposite, doesn't he? In the passage we just heard read, he doesn't tell them to keep a safe distance. No, he tells them to come and he tells them to pray. And at the very beginning of that prayer, before anything else, we have that word, Father. And that changes everything. That should change everything. You see, I love the royal family. I know there are some here who love the royal family as well. There might be some who really don't like the royal family at all. I'm sure they have their problems, just like any family. They all have their flaws, but I do love the royal family. And I hope and pray that the monarchy in this country lasts long enough for William to one day take the throne, for him to one day be king. But when he does, though I may have a lot of respect for him, I can't just come to him and talk to him about stuff, can I? I won't be able to just waltz into the palace and chat about my cares and my concerns, maybe the bad dream that I had last night. I can't come to him and talk to him about any of those things, can I? No, that would be very strange, and I don't think the guards would allow me in. No, I can't do that because he'll be the king. There's that distance that that creates. But whilst I can't come to him and I can't talk to him about those things, there are those who can do that, aren't there? There's two princes and a princess. They are his children. And I love it whenever I see on TV William with George or any of those combinations. William with any of his children, he holds their hand, doesn't he? He picks them up. He carries them. In fact, I saw one video which I found quite funny. They were all on the balcony, and I think there was a flyover happening, and George was complaining about something, so William was crouched down chatting to his son. And the Queen tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Stand up, William." And so he obeyed his grandmother and did just that. But his son needed something. And so out of love for him, he got down on his knee and spoke to his son, though one day he himself may well be king. Those children have an access and an intimacy that no others do, that I never will, not with William at least. But that shows us something of the access and the intimacy that we can have with God, our Father. See, God, who is the king, the greatest king, king of kings, king over William, king over every king that there ever has been and ever will be, king of all creation, but this king I can call Father. And so Jesus tells his disciples, he tells us to pray to their Father, to bring their needs to God. And he makes that point further, doesn't he? That's why I didn't just have that one verse read, but carried on going through. He makes the point further. He tells this parable about two friends, doesn't he? It's quite a funny parable. I think you can almost picture it. You know, one friend needing something and having to go round to his friend in the middle of the night, knocking on the door. Now, whilst the friend is a bit reluctant at first, he does give in to the needs of his friends, doesn't he? He gives what he needs. Now, that's a little bit of what God is like. But he's not reluctant. He's not grumpy, having to get out of bed and see to his friend's needs. No, Jesus here is saying, come to God like that. Don't be afraid of being a pain to God. Come to God like that. Bring to him your needs. You can do that with a friend. You can do that with God. Out of his great love, he will provide what you need. But he goes further than that, doesn't he? It's not just this story of two friends. No, he loves more than a friend does. He loves as a father does. And so he provides what his children need. Not always what they want, but definitely what they need. I remember going shopping with my parents, and they, as they would go around and they would be picking up, you know, the rice and the pasta and the potato. We like the carbs in our family. They had some vegetables as well. But as they would go around and pick those things up, they would leave me and my sister. You know, you can tell I'm a little bit older. You wouldn't leave your children anywhere in a supermarket now, would you? But they would leave me and my sister in the toy aisle, and that would keep us happy for a while. I'd be able to look at the action men. I'd be looking at the gadgets, looking at that little toy bow and arrow that I really wanted. And I wanted it all. And every single time, my parents knew what would happen. They would come back to pick me up, and I would ask to take probably most of the stuff that was on the shelf, but at least go back with something. Sometimes they very kindly bought something for me, and I'd have a grin on my face all the way home, but sometimes they said no. And I would sulk. I would cry. Quite a while ago, you know, it's not that recent, but I would sulk at what... I can buy my own bows and arrows now, it's good. But I would sulk, even though by the time my parents had come back round to get me, they had a shopping cart full of good things for me. Things that I needed, things that would help me to grow strong and healthy, things that I would even enjoy. The shopping cart was full of things for me, but I was too stubborn to see that. But God, as our Father, he calls us to come to him, to bring our needs to him. But also, when we do that, to trust him. To trust that he has a father's heart, a pure father's heart, and that he will care for us. Jesus makes the point that earthly fathers aren't perfect, does he, in that passage? He says that they're evil, in the sense that they're sinners, they're not perfect, they fail. And yet even they, if their son asks for a fish, won't give him a serpent instead. Or if he asks for an egg, won't give him a scorpion. Earthly fathers aren't perfect. We thought about that earlier. But even they can show that the heart of the father is to provide good gifts for the children that they love. And so much more with our Heavenly Father who loves us. We are called, we are encouraged to come to him, not to keep a safe distance, but to then trust his love and care for us. Well, let's sing again. Let's celebrate the fact that we can come to God as our Father. Now, this song is written from the perspective of a Christian looking back at how they could possibly get by without knowing God as Father who provides for them. So let's stand and sing this song in celebration. Father God, I wonder. Well, it's good to have that encouragement from Christ in Luke's gospel, isn't it? To not keep God at a distance, but to call him Father, to come to him. But we can have that fear of coming to him for good reason, can't we? After all, when we think about the Lord, we recognize that he is mighty, that he is holy, and he is pure. And when we recognize that, we realize that we're not pure as he is. When we come to God's word, what we find there is that rather than being children of God, we act as his enemies. We act as slaves to sin, to do all that God has commanded us not to do. Even though his law is good, it is for our good. We go against it. Whether we have those commands from God written down in front of us or simply have it written on our hearts, we each go against it. The Bible calls that sin. We have all done what is wrong. And so we could begin to think, how on earth could I approach God? And not only approach him, but how could I, a sinner, someone who has been an enemy of God, come to him and call him Father? When we think like that, we can think, I need the distance that keeps me safe. To come to him and call him Father, just can't conceive of that. Well, this passage in Galatians beautifully gives us an answer to that problem, doesn't it? That answer is that old Sunday school answer, it's Jesus. It says in verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. See, though we are sinners, God sent a rescuer, his son, his perfect son. His son who had a perfect relationship with him, and he came as a man, as a human being, born of a woman, so that he could live a perfect life as God's perfect son, and to do that on our behalf, as our representative, so that we could be counted as his perfect sons too, as his children. Or as we read here, so that we might receive adoption as sons, as the children of God. And so we need to recognize that we can't do that alone. We need that representative. Though we might have God's law in front of us and we might think, I might try and do this, and so try to work my way into God's good books, and one day I might be able to call him Father. No, we need the perfect son. We need to trust in him, in what he has done for us, his perfect life and his death on our behalf to wipe away our sin. And when we do that, when we trust in him, we can know full well that we can call him Father, because the Son can call him Father. And so this morning, that feeling that you might have in your gut, that you might have come in with, that might have been stirred up in you as you've listened through this morning, that feeling that you don't deserve to be able to come to God and call him Father, that feeling in and of itself, to begin with, is right. We don't deserve to. Not on our own. We're not born with a right to be his children. He could have left us and left us as his enemies. But we can see in God's word that he has a father's heart, a loving heart. A heart that is reflected in the hearts of those men that we saw in that video. That's why I showed that video. They have those hearts that want to reach out. Not to leave those children somewhere, but to step out and to show the love of the Father to these children. So that's why I showed the video, not to guilt anyone into that, but to see something of the Father's love, a love that reaches out to us, that makes a way for us to come to him through Jesus. And now, having done that, he adopts us so that we become fully fledged parts of his family, children and heirs, taken from being enemies to being children. And so we now have that ability, don't we, to call him Father, Abba, Father. Now, if you're new to the Bible, Abba there is not a band, but it is a Aramaic word for father. And it's a beautiful word for father. It's what Aramaic-speaking children would call their fathers as they're growing up and into their adulthood. Now, some people like to translate it as the English word daddy. That's probably not quite like that, but it captures something of that, doesn't it? It's what children would call their father. It's not that he is the father somewhere distant, but no, God has called us into his family so that we can not only call him father, but my father. And so this morning, as we think about God as father, we can do a number of things. Firstly, we can give thanks for fathers. They're not perfect, but God gives fathers as a good gift to reflect his own heart. And so give thanks for the good that they do, for those who act as fathers in your life have done. Pray that God would help the men here to be good fathers and father figures to others, that they might be able to reflect their Heavenly Father's heart. And lastly, this morning, look to God the Father yourself. This morning, are you close to him? Are you trusting in him? Or are you trying to keep him at arm's length? You don't need to do that. He is a good father who loves you. Trust in what Christ has done on your behalf, and I pray that this morning you would come to him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that through the work of Christ, through his perfect life, his death and his resurrection, we can now come to you and we can cry out to you, Abba, Father, knowing that you hear us, that you love us, that you care for us, and that nothing can separate us from you. So please help us this morning to look to you, to trust in the work of Christ, and to look to you as our good Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.